Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate that. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. This is the time of week where we do our interviews. We try to do one of these with our next guest once a season. His name is Shannon Penn. Check him out. He's producing the Freddie and it's Freddie and Fitz, right?
Freddie and Fitzsimmons, yes. All right. ESPN Radio.
People be making changes. I was like, Fitz still on there, right? Okay, cool. Freddie and Fitzsimmons, check them out late nights. I appreciate you taking the time to come and join us. And before we get to the sports, I have to ask you what the big thing is right now as we are recording this, and I will particularize it to you. What was the reaction in your home when Taylor Swift came out with that drum line like Beyonce?
Yeah, I was, my wife was like, what is she trying to do? Like, what is that? Like, this is the worst time, like, of any performances, of any ideas, of anything that you could have done, you're gonna use a band on the heels of Beychella. Like, what are you trying to accomplish?
Yo, she took it all the way, and she is now officially the other woman in that movie with Beyonce and that snake string of Belle. Remember that?
Wasn't like called like the other woman or something?
It was
like
called
that?
Obsessed.
That's what, yeah, well, bingo.
Yep. It was called Obsessed. To this day, I am mad that I did not find a Magic Johnson Theater to go watch that movie in. Imagine the audience seeing that woman try to break up that happy example of black love.
My gosh, like the commentary alone. Like, yes. You know how many people would have been screaming at the screen, like all the women, like, I know he didn't. Oh, girl, you better.
You know what just dawned on me? We did this 10 years ago.
And thanks a lot for making me feel old.
Bro, no, but for real, like, we were doing this show 10 years ago. Just like, yeah, see, that's how they do. That's how they do.
And you still got love for Stringer Bell 10 years later, huh?
All of it. Every bit. All the love that I ever had for that snake. Anyway, though, Shannon, you're a Giants fan. That's one of the reasons we like to talk to you about various matters. Can I go step by step, like, for the offseason with you? I just want to know some of your feelings, right?
Yeah, go right ahead. Let the misery ensue. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
How did you feel when you realized, wow, they're really bringing Eli back?
I don't get it. Like the whole Eli thing, if you were going to eject from Eli or pull the plug on the whole Eli thing, the argument could have been made you'd do it 2 years ago or even last year when you had a draft class that featured guys like Sam Darnold. I would have thought last year would have been the time. So that's, and I know we're going to get to the Daniel Jones draft pick. It makes no sense why they decided to do it now.
And you know what's wild? Think about this. The Giants treat Eli better than the Colts treated Peyton.
And that's the whole strange thing about this whole treatment of Eli is it's the NFL. It's all about the bottom line, right? Like, you'd rather get rid of a guy a year early than a year late. But with Eli, he gets special treatment. Like, I don't get it. Maybe he has pictures, documents, or something. I don't get the love. Like, I get it.
And
two Super Bowls, like, that's all well and good. But dudes who have won two Super Bowls have gotten kicked out before. Like, he's not going to be the first. He's not going to be the last.
Dudes have gotten four have gotten kicked out. And, by the way, y'all don't even love him like that, at least not the fans.
Right, exactly. Like, he's just there, you know? Like, he's the Eli Manning of the family. Like, he's just there. Like, he's not Peyton. Like, he's just there. Like, yeah, I guess we'll take Eli, you know? It would have been good if we would have kept Phillip Rivers when we drafted him in 04, but, I mean, we got Eli, you know?
When's the last time you were happy to say that Eli Manning was your quarterback?
I mean, I didn't have grounds to complain after the second Super Bowl. I mean, he lucked up with the first one. I get it. But with the second was like, okay, yeah, you got a second ring. It's Eli. He's our quarterback, I guess.
And I feel like you got to feel bad sometimes about feeling bad about Eli because he literally don't do nothing to nobody.
At all. You don't hear him in the headlines, nothing, no problems at all. Like he should be like the model of what you want your New York quarterback to be, your New York City quarterback. I mean, yeah, the Jets are there too, but they don't really count. But like your New York City quarterback, like he should be the prototypical guy, the face of a franchise, except that face is a derp face. And do you really want that? Do you really want that as the face of your franchise?
Derp. Hey, man. I mean,
I'm just thinking about, like the as we continue to talk this offseason. Go ahead. And I thought I would feel better about this, too, but it's not helping.
Yeah.
Gabe, you're not helping. Your face right now, not helping right now, Gabe.
Oh, I am so, so here for this. I am so here for this.
Well, let me ask this. We're going to go in small bites, right? Mm-hmm. How did you feel when you heard Dave Gettleman say we didn't sign Odell to trade him?
Exactly. Like, I was good. Like, absolutely. You give Odell the big money. Like, yeah, you might have had some problems in the locker room, but Odell is a star. Like, he's your guy. There's only maybe one or two other guys in the league who are better than Odell at his position. Like, even if you got Derpy Eli back there, he can throw it up and get lucky. Why? Because you got Odell making one-handed catches. I don't care what Odell's track record against the kicking net on the sideline is. No, it's Odell. He's still one of the most unstoppable players in the league. You got this. You draft Saquon. You got stars. And then you say you signed him not to trade him. And then guess what you did, Dave Gettleman? You traded him. So what was the point? I really thought I would feel better about this, but you're bringing up old wounds now.
What did they trade him for? A 1 and a 4?
It was like,
and Jabril Peppers?
It was like Jabril Peppers. It was like green peppers, red peppers, black peppers, a 1.
Well, hold on. What did you think when he said that Jabril Peppers was really like a first round pick?
Yeah, okay. I'm glad he believed that.
I felt insulted when he said that. Like, he used to be a first round pick. Now you're a first round pick. I'm like, dog, why are you lying to me now?
And I was high on Jabril Peppers at Michigan. I thought he could do some things and he had the versatility and all. It didn't work out in Cleveland. But to be honest with you, I totally forgot that he was part of the trade until you brought it up just now.
I mean, someone has to replace Landon Collins. Remember that? Landon Collins used to play for y'all.
So you transition right into that next one, huh?
Oh, wow. I didn't even mean for that to be a transition. But now that we're there, how did you feel about that one?
Okay. I'll be honest with you. When we drafted Landon Collins, I didn't think he would be as good as he turned out to be. You and I have talked about, yes, Collins during the draft process, that he struggled in coverage, and I was just hoping he wouldn't be another C.C. Brown, can't cover Brown. But he turned out to be an all-pro safety. It worked out. I didn't understand why you would be so willing to part with your leader on your defense. I didn't get it. Now, looking back at it, looking at the money that he got from Washington, I guess I understand why the Giants didn't want to do it. But you for a team so bad, I just don't understand your willingness to get rid of guys who are at the top of the league at their respective positions. I don't get it.
Well, I can't figure out if they're rebuilding or not. That's the confusion, right?
Right, because if you're going to rebuild, you rebuild with the quarterback 2 years ago. Like, if you rebuild, yes, Saquon was a Pro Bowl and had a great rookie season, but if you rebuild, you start with the quarterback last year. Like, you're not drafting a running back just to rebuild. You're not building your team around your running back. You got to have a quarterback. If you're going to rebuild, you don't then go out and pay Nate Solder, make him the highest paid left tackle in the league, if you're rebuilding.
And then he stunk, right?
And then he stunk on top of that. I'm yelling. You might have to turn up.
No, you good, baby. You good. Whew. Yeah, that was just last year. We didn't even get to, like, this year where they traded Odell, but it wasn't a rebuilding move, and they're going to stick Eli Manning back out there.
Oh, Shannon is fanning himself off right now in the studio, by the way.
Is it just me? I'm like in a polo and I'm hot right now. It's too early for me to be this upset. Jeez.
But wait, it gets worse. So, after this thing happened, when you saw the mock draft saying that you might get Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
What'd you think about that?
I didn't mind Haskins. I wasn't as high on him, but I saw all the potential in the world, watch the Ohio State games. I was like, okay, I was cool with it. Like, I was fine. If we take Haskins at 6, I'm good with it. Me personally, the Giants were so devoid of talent at this point. I was, hey, best player available, take him. If it's Haskins and you need to face your franchise, you want the quarterback, take him. If it's one of the defensive guys and they're available, take him. Even if it's Ned Oliver, hey, take him. Best player available. It didn't matter. As long as it's the best player available.
After that, how long did it take you to remember, damn, the Giants have had a black quarterback for one game ever? Remember that one time? They brought Geno Smith in. Geno Smith started that one game, and they've been apologizing to Eli Manning ever since.
I forgot about that.
That's the one game a black quarterback has ever started for the Giants.
That's right, because they were... Oh, gosh. Okay, so they were going away from Eli with the whole... The ending the consecutive starting streak. Like, they decided, hey, we're going to go in a different direction. Okay, I'm totally good with that. And then you tried out Geno Smith. I'm like, okay, I guess. And then you bring Eli back. So what was the point? Like,
here's the thing I think that gets lost in that move. Ben McAdoo, right or wrong, really believed that Geno Smith was a better quarterback at that point than Eli Manning. right? Like, if you make that move, right. The only reason you make that move is you look and you're like, no, this guy is better than that guy. Geno Smith ain't in the league no more.
That's what I don't get. Like, if you're going to make the move, then make the move. Like, if that was the time to say, hey, we're moving on from Eli, then move on from Eli. But yet, here we are about to start the 2019 season. Guess who the starting quarterback of the Giants is?
Yes.
Eli Manning.
That's because
you didn't accomplish anything.
Well, that's because they fired the man who made the move. They're like, oh, no. That's too much. That's too much. Like, we let you slide for that haircut, but now, this too much. But, I'm not saying that the Giants didn't take Dwayne Haskins because he's black. I want to be clear.
Right.
I just want to point out they've had a black quarterback start one game, and people were so mad about it that Eli Manning's still starting.
Like, one of the story franchises in league history, and to only start one black quarterback, it's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, the Patriots and Giants combined, two games started by a black quarterback.
Oh, now you got me now, because I'm really trying to think about
that one game Jacoby Brissett started after Garoppolo got hurt and before Brady came back from the suspension.
Like, that's their one, right?
That's their one. That is, yo, when you go through the list of teams and their history with black quarterbacks, ooh, buddy, it is stark.
Well, speaking of Lynch, and I know we're going to go to the Giants, but I want to ask you just about this. Do you think the perception of black quarterbacks have changed over the years from when we were growing up, when you had the one or the two, you were either Warren Moon or Randall Cunningham, to now where, you know, black quarterbacks, Kyler Murray going number one? Like, has the perception over the years changed with the black quarterback?
Sort of, because you still got to be fast. And even if you're not fast, they're going to have you out here running plays like you are fast. Remember when North Turner had Teddy Bridgewater out here running the zone read? I was like, yo, did you watch any of his tape? Geno Smith is a rookie. They had him out there running the zone read.
I guess that's where we got to give more props to Jameis Winston in that regard, because everyone looked at him was like, oh, no.
And that's so wild. That dude, of all dudes, is the one who got drafted number one as quarterback because he did all, like, the, you know, traditional quarterback sorts of things. Or is it possible that since the number two pick's name was Marcus, some folks just got confused?
Uh-huh. That could have been it, too. I don't know if we wanted a Marcus starting in Tennessee, so maybe that could have been it.
I'll just tell you this. As much as I think that to a degree, perceptions have changed. I still think it's hard for pocket passers, right? Because the black pocket passer, they're like, yo, we can get a white dude to do that, right? Generally speaking, integration takes place where you get black people to do things that for whatever reason they think white folks just can't do, right? Though it's odd this time, the number six pick that the Giants took is the guy who could run, and they did not want the guy that was your traditional drop back pocket passer.
I think we're going to Jones here, huh?
Well, I'll make the last point on what you said about perception. I haven't done this in a few years, but I remember one year I went down and checked the dual threat quarterbacks on Rivals just to see who was in the rankings. And it was pretty evenly split, you know, between black quarterbacks and white quarterbacks. I went to Pro Style. I swear to you, of the top 50, only one of them was black, and he was number 50. Like, he was lady. So you're not going to tell me that there ain't no slow black people who can throw a football. That don't make no sense, right? That's not possible. You're not going to tell me that those people do not exist, but you very rarely see them get NFL jobs. And I guess one of them was Dwayne Haskins, who the Giants did not take. Instead, the Giants took Daniel Jones, who went to Duke. And, I mean, you and I both got ties to that area, right? That's where we came up. Did anybody tell you anything about Daniel Jones through the season? Because I ain't have nobody mention him one time.
And here's the thing is I still watch a fair amount of ACC football, and I saw Jones a couple occasions this year, and I understand that the talent level at Duke, it wasn't great per se, and there was a lot of drops, but at the same time, there was nothing about him that jumped off the screen to say, hey, this is going to be a franchise guy. It was nothing. Like I said, he's playing with lesser talent at Duke. I get that. But at different times, you can look at Ridley at NC State, or whomever. Finley at NC State, and say, okay, he's showing signs. He may not be there yet, but at least he's showing signs. With Jones, I just didn't see it. To bring up your point, with Jones, I saw an athletic quarterback. Like, I saw the guy who, you know, all the tropes that they would have with black quarterbacks, that was Daniel Jones. Like, he's the guy moving out of the pocket when a play breaks down. He played a little bit better. He's the guy who can run away from defenders. That was Daniel Jones. I didn't see a big arm. I didn't see where his passes and his decision making made other players better. I just didn't see it.
I never had anybody mention this dude one time until the draft process came up. Charles Robinson reported that there was only one team that had him as the top quarterback on their board. He didn't say who it was, but he said we all knew who it was. And, you know, I think it was the Giants.
And see, that's the frustrating part for me. And not to knock Jones too much, but if Gettleman decided Jones was his guy, I'm fine with that. But I still feel as though you could have had him at 17. And there was no one that was going to take him before you drafted him at 17. Gettleman has come out and said that he believed that there were two teams that were interested in taking Jones before 17. I think Washington and Denver were the rumored teams. That didn't happen because you saw that Washington was high on Haskins. So I don't understand taking him at 6. It made no sense. And that was really the big shocker for me. If you want your franchise quarterback, fine, take him, but 6 was too high. You're devoid of talent. Take the best player available at 6, and you could still have Jones at 17. And there's an argument that can be made that Jones still probably would have been available after 17.
Yeah, and see, that's tricky to me, where it's like, okay, if you feel like he's your guy, then I agree that you just go and take him, right? Especially if you don't think there's another guy in this draft. If you feel like that's your guy, then I say, yeah, you go ahead and take him. My thing with Gettleman on that is he literally believes he is smarter than everybody else because he's the only person who would do that.
And that's the problem.
Like, at some point, you got to look around and be like, yo, why am I the only person who is willing to do that? He is the only person who would take this guy. He's the only person that talks of him in such breathless tones. And I believe, by the way, this includes members of Daniel Jones' family, because he was not walking up to the podium like a dude who thought he was the number 6 pick in the draft. He's like, yo, this is crazy, man. Me? Wow. Okay.
You heard it right. They did say Daniel Jones, right? That's me. All right, cool. Just checking. Wow. Oh, okay. Number 6? Sure. Why not?
All righty then.
I mean, and see, and to your point, okay, slow down. Gettleman, yes, with these, he has a big personality. We get that. I'm sure that the media loves him because he gives these quotes. But it seems as though he's trying to be contrarian when everything he's saying about Jones, like, I'm going to prove to you that I'm smarter than you. I've been on in organizations with Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. I'm sure everybody on the Giants wasn't sold. And I guess as a GM, you get paid to make these decisions. But it just seemed like a reach. And I've talked to a couple of people who were at the draft, people who've talked, you know, to different teams.
Your sources.
My sources have said, like, no one had Daniel Jones going as high as the Giants took him. And many believe that he would have been there at 17. And that's the thing for me. Like, I know a lot of the casual fans, it was a shock because they say, hey, Duke quarterback, he's the next Dave Brown. Like, yeah, that's fun for all the jokes. But just being realistic, he would have been there at 17. I don't see what you accomplished. And then at 17, the pick that you got in the Odell Beckham trade, Dexter Lawrence, he's a good player, but the Giants were devoid of pass rushers. And you just got yourself a nose tackle, a big guy. I don't see the need.
He's a Dave Gettleman player, Shannon. You know that's a Dave Gettleman player.
What does that even mean?
Big.
What does that even mean?
Hog mollies. He likes interior linemen. He's a Dave Shannon. He knows what it looks like. He knows what it smells like.
Oh, so
he
that's
knows what it tastes like.
Oh, so that's when you're supposed to build from the inside out, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess within that inside, it starts with identifying your quarterback.
Oh.
Or when it's time to move on from your quarterback. Instead of stringing everyone along with the same quarterback who should have been replaced some time ago, sent out the pasture a couple years ago. Like this is tough, to be honest with you. Like, I'm a draft guy. You know that. I follow the draft. I follow guys in college. I even follow high school recruiting. But this year, just on the heels of how bad this offseason, or how tough this offseason has been for the Giants, I wasn't looking forward to the draft. Like, even with the Giants having 2 first round picks, I'm just like, I don't know, maybe because I'm just trying to get away from it because the Odell trade still hurts. My son, Braylon, has an Odell jersey. Aww. Huge Odell fan.
Now
he does have a Saquon jersey, though, so I guess he moved on, too. But that's not the point. But just going into this whole thing, you know the Browns are going to be everywhere because they got Baker Mayfield. They got now Odell. They're a sexy team, a sexy pick. And here I am every time now I have to watch the promos with Odell and Jarvis Landry, it makes me think of how poor my team is, and more importantly, how poorly run it appears the Giants are.
How tired are you of hearing about Dave Gettleman and them seven Super Bowls?
Already. I'm
not,
done.
That's
I'm
not
through.
Super Bowl wins, by the way.
I'm through. Like, what is that? What does that even mean? Like, what is that? What does that mean? Like, just getting there is not good enough. Like, you got to... Skins on the wall. Show me.
Yo, he was a scout for those four Buffalo Super Bowl losses. One of those that he counts is the Carolina Super Bowl, which is not a team that he built. And do not forget that before the 2015 season, he refused to say that he thought Cam Newton was a franchise quarterback, but he sees it, smells it, and tastes it with Daniel Jones. And then he had those two with the Giants that they don't even let the actual general manager claim. Right, the guy that actually ran things. Y'all ran him out of town.
I wonder what Jerry Reese is thinking right now, too.
Like, oh, he can't stop laughing.
He's been real quiet. He's probably just sipping his tea.
I'm telling you.
Smirking.
There's no way in the world that Jerry Reese, the guy that used to run the personnel operation, does not hate Dave Gettleman, guy who used to work under him. Because if Dave Gettleman is saying this stuff to us, I bet Dave Gettleman was saying even crazier stuff to Jerry Reese.
And so with Gettleman's being so out front with this, his backing of Jones, and I guess that's going to be a franchise guy. So Gettleman's employment now with the Giant solely rests on Jones's success, no?
Yes, entirely. And if he don't show no signs real soon, Gettleman's in big trouble. Because let me tell you, is there anybody else on the Giants that, like, people on the team follow or that have, you know, some sort of big kind of personality or, you know, just are mean something to the franchise? Because he's going to trade whoever is left. That's what he does, right? Is there anybody left for him to get rid of that people have actually heard of?
No. Everybody's gone. Anybody with any kind of opinion or makes for a good quote who can take the spotlight away from Dave Gettleman is gone. Landon Collins is gone. He traded Snacks last year. Odell, of course. Any of those guys. You know, Eli's not going to say anything, so he's good. You know, Saquon's still the nice guy. He doesn't really give his opinion on matters, so he's straight. Gettleman has gotten rid of all the voices in the locker room so that he's not only the biggest voice, he's the only voice in that locker room now.
Yeah, serious question. Has any general manager done more press than Dave Gettleman? Like, is there any general, how many of these general managers? Like, I think you and I are the kind of people that could probably name the general manager or head of football operations, you know, whichever fits.
Right.
For pretty much most, all the teams in the league, right? Like, it might take, you know, a couple finger snaps, but like, oh yeah, that's the guy that runs that. How many times have you heard any of their voices?
Right. Like, the only guy who's comparable would be Jerry Jones, and he's the owner of the team.
Yes.
Like, I guess in title, he's still general manager by title, but I know Stephen Jones does more of that now. But aside from Jerry, I can't think of anyone else.
No.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Dave Gettleman gets his own weekly talk show.
You see Eli stop doing his FAN appearance?
I don't know how many radio hits you're going to have for a backup quarterback.
Well, that's the Eli's like, nah, I don't think I want to talk this year. Like, somebody said something about it being generally, you know, that he'll come on every now and then, Eli looking around and is like, nah, I don't want to be the guy that has to answer questions about what's about to happen here.
With Jones, though, and just looking forward, because the Giants are going to struggle here in the next couple of years, and you look at the drafts and the prospects, you got, like, next year, for example, you have Tua will be available. I mean, it's good. It looks like there are names in next year's draft. And then looking the year after that, Trevor Lawrence. I know earlier I said Dexter Lawrence as far as the defensive tackle, but I'm in love with Trevor Lawrence. So, hey, if this Daniel Jones stuff doesn't work, I'm willing to cut bait after 2 years.
Oh, but is Dave Gettleman going to be willing to cut bait after 2 years? Like, Suge White down there in Arizona, he wound up in a place where he could do that. You think Dave Gettleman going to do that, or will Dave Gettleman be gone under this scenario?
And that's the tricky part here for Gettleman. You can identify that Lawrence is a better prospect than Jones, but if your success is tied to this one guy being good, can you then acknowledge that you made a mistake? And I don't think Gettleman would, because his pride won't let him.
You know they're going to have to pay Saquon at some point, like, in this long-range plan that you got. They don't really have him for very cheap right now.
See, that's the thing. Long-range plan and running backs are not synonymous. Like, honestly, within the NFL, you got a lot of running back, what, two, maybe 3 years, to be honest with you, to be at his peak? Maybe four if he's really that good? But with the Giants, can we honestly say that they're going to be good in 2 to 3 years? When Saquon is at his prime, are the Giants going to be a good team? And right now, I can't say that. As a matter of fact, I can say no, they probably won't be.
Yeah.
So then that goes back to last year with drafting and identifying that it was time to move on from Eli. So then last year was your time to draft your quarterback. Like, it didn't make sense. You draft the Saquon there if you feel as though you have a team that's built and ready to compete. But of course you're not built and ready to compete if you're drafting second overall in the draft. That's what I'm saying. It's quicksand. You're running in quicksand. The Giants are stuck in purgatory right now, and somebody got to save them. And unfortunately, the guy who to do it won't be the quarterback who was drafted sixth overall. This is how you know it's bad for me, Bo, when the Giants have been so bad that I'm actually looking forward to see what the Knicks are going to do this offseason. That's how bad that I got to put my faith in James Dolan and the Knicks and some ping pong balls. That's how bad it's gotten for me right now, Bo.
All right, we'll be back with more with Shannon Penn in a minute, but first, are your credit card bills keeping you up at night? Interest rates in the double digits? Be smart and pay off your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. You could save thousands in interest. Get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 and there are no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Plus, LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you can have complete peace of mind. You want to save even more? My listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Bomani. LightStream.com/Bomani. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Bomani for more information. I completely forgot when we were getting ready for this show about the Knicks.
Yeah.
Where are you?
When has there ever been more optimism for a team that finished with the worst record in the league?
Yes, they stink so bad and there's so much excitement about what might happen.
But they stunk so good. That's the funny thing about it. I actually saw it in person. I went to a couple games this year. Had a really good season to one game, as a matter of fact.
You got to meet Dolan, didn't you?
Yeah, I met James Dolan. A funny story. Got a chance to meet James Dolan. He actually gave my son the game ball, and I asked my son if he wanted to take a picture, and Braylon was like, nah, I'm good. I was like, what are you doing?
He's straight, baby. He don't suck it when he see one.
He kept it 100, I guess. But with the Knicks, they honestly did... They did it the right way. If you're going to lose the right way, they did it the right way. By you losing the games, you're competitive in the games, and you played your young players a lot of minutes. So you had a chance to evaluate your young players. You got the cap space to make a run. You got a chance to draft a guy like Zion Williams. You put yourself in that position. We've heard all the talk about Kevin Durant, Kyrie, or whomever. So there is optimism. But it would be just my luck as a Knicks fan that the Knicks miss out on Zion and that the Knicks miss out on all these free agents and they have to settle for signing Daniel Jones.
Let me ask you this, though. This is a serious question. When has, like, the team in the lottery won the lottery? What I mean by that is, like, a team that you... Like, everybody wants Zion, but the Knicks are looking at this differently, right? Like, you remember the 97 lottery when the Celtics had those two picks? And they're like, yeah, we gonna get Tim Duncan.
Yep.
And then they did not get Tim Duncan. And then there's the other time? Oh yeah, the Owen Durant draft. Remember the Celtics were all in on that one too. And then they were like, fine, I guess we'll have to get Kevin Garnett or Ray Allen. But the Knicks, nobody wants this lottery like Knicks fans. Nobody think it's girl. Knicks fans and Pelicans fans.
And so that's the interesting part of, because I think the two could possibly tie, because if you're the Knicks and you have the number one overall pick, Do you think about trading that pick for Anthony Davis? Would you, Bomani? Would you trade Zion? If you had the chance to have Zion at number one, would you trade that for Anthony Davis?
If I have gotten Kyrie and Kevin Durant, and I think they're coming. I do, right? But if I've gotten those guys, then yeah, put a stamp on Zion. Get him out of here. Get Anthony Davis. Bird in the hand, baby. Bird in the hand.
And then that leads to another question as well. On the Pelican side, what are you willing to accept for Anthony Davis? Like, if it's a team that gets number one and they have Zion and they're unwilling to part with Zion, whoever that could be, Cleveland, Phoenix, New York, or whomever, they're unwilling to part with Zion. Are you willing to take the second overall pick, the third overall pick, or wherever that falls?
Yeah, like, I don't know who's willing to give up what in order to get Anthony Davis, because I don't know what the Celtics are ultimately going to be willing to do. Toronto, so my guess is Kawhi Leonard's not going to come back to Toronto.
Right.
Right, no matter what happens, I don't think he's going to come back. But let's say in a hypothetical world that he did come back. Are you putting Siakam in that trade to get Anthony Davis? Ooh. Like, what plus Siakam? Because Siakam messed up and turned into a beast. I mean, obviously you do put Siakam in that trade, but what else?
What else can you get that's viable enough to make New Orleans want to accept it? Like, Siakam, yeah, he has the potential to be really, really good. But what else do you have that New Orleans would want? And so that's the thing. And then with Toronto, with Siakam's emergence, that's why, yeah, you want to try to resign Kawhi. But if Kawhi leaves, I think Siakam coming on, it softens the blow if you lose Kawhi. And so that's why this whole thing is intriguing, because I think obviously Boston has the best assets to get Anthony Davis, but it's going to be whether or not they're going to be willing to part with Jason Tatum. And Tatum struggled a bit here his sophomore season, as players tend to do. If you're Danny Ainge, are you willing to listen more and make Tatum available where you wouldn't have done it, you know, if Tatum played as well as he did his rookie year?
Yeah, nah, man. Like, I mean, are you going to go on the all-in? Because the plan for them is they're going to go all-in and make Anthony Davis say that he's not coming back. And I'm like, he ain't going to come back. But that's the plan where they are. But good for you, Knicks fans. I want Kevin Durant to come here so bad.
You do?
It'll make life so much better. It'll be so much interesting. So much more interesting. Like, look, let me tell you this. I lived in Miami for a year when LeBron was there. That made things much better.
Right.
Than when he wasn't. When he wasn't, there was a hole. It was gone. If both of them cats come back, that'll be dope. It'll also be interesting if Durant and Kyrie were to go to, say, the Nets, because the whole, like, Manhattan would just be hating on the Nets. I think there'd be more media scrutiny if he went to the Nets than with the Knicks.
And what would that, because we can imagine what the media coverage would be if those guys went to the Knicks. But would that media interest be there, though, if they went to the Nets?
Yes. Because they're still who they are, right? And the interest would be, it'd be Knicks fans hating on the Nets. Like, there will always be a market. Imagine every time Kevin Durant has a bad game, it'll be so quick to be on the back page, right? Because people will enjoy ridiculing the upstarts.
And I guess it's comparable to the Jason Kidd-led Nets teams. I get it, you're comparing New Jersey and Brooklyn here. But with the Nets, back-to-back NBA Finals, and yeah, that was cool, and Jason Kidd was playing at the MVP level, and you got Vince Carter, but it still wasn't the Knicks, as bad as the Knicks were. Like, and Knicks. Maybe I'm biased because I'm a Knicks fan.
No, but it's not the Knicks.
Like, it was a cool story. Like, hey, you know, Jason Kidd's doing some great things, but it still wasn't the Knicks. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's the truth, yeah. Honestly.
And that's where the Nets are. Like, but I mean, but if Durant, like, Madison Square Garden, all of that, it will get to cracking.
Well, what do you think about, though, what people say, well, how will Durant and, to a lesser degree, Kyrie handle the New York media? Like, is that still a thing? Because I argue that Durant sees his fair amount of media now in Golden State. I mean, they're the biggest story in the league.
Yeah, like, and how well is he handling that?
Right. No, not very well.
That's all I'm saying, right? Like, how well is he handling that? I do think the idea of New York media, like the idea that it's so much media, that part is gone.
Right.
But there is still more media here than there is anywhere else. And the culture of the media here is still, like, people say, oh, man, it's not as harsh as it used to be because y'all ain't had a team worth talking about. But if this starts coming and the people covering this team and watching the team now suddenly have the right to expect something, oh, no, they going to come for him. And they might not come even that fierce, but it's more fierce than he can handle. Kyrie's just going to say, like, crazy gibberish type stuff. But I think that Kyrie can handle the media. Kevin Durant, I mean, he just ain't happy. And if it don't go well here, people going to have questions that he doesn't want to answer.
But at least there's optimism. And I guess that's the thing where the Knicks are going according to plan. It's just those questions have to be asked. In years past, the Knicks have had plans before, and Dolan has meddled. Is that going to happen again this offseason? I can't definitively say that it won't. Like, I hope it won't, and all the talk about the confidence that they have that Durant's going to come is there, but we've seen that before. We knew Carmelo wanted to come before, but Dolan couldn't be patient enough to let the season play out and try to get Carmelo in that offseason. Like, we've seen this before, and right now, I can't believe it until I see it. And maybe that's just the jaded Knicks fan in me. Like, I can't believe that it's going to happen because I can't get hurt again, Bo. I can't. I've been hurt way too many times. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I can't do it. So I'm gonna let this play out.
But this is Dolan can't mess this up.
Watch me. Hold my beer.
No, all I'm saying is, like, with Melo, there had to be a trade and all this stuff. You know, these guys, if they're gonna come, they're gonna walk up.
But what is the intrigue though? Like, honestly, as you know, we've talked about how bad this organization has been running in years past. But what's the intrigue? If we say like New York, yes, it's still the media market. Like, I get that, but you don't have to be a superstar. You don't have to be in New York to be a superstar. So what would be the intrigue, though, to come into New York for Kevin Durant specifically?
If the people around him think it's a good place for him to be.
Is it for basketball reasons? Or
I mean, obviously not. Of course not. You stay in Golden State for basketball reasons, even though I don't think they want him there anymore.
which is interesting.
Yo, and he's been such a beast. Since he told us, I'm Kevin Durant.
Right.
Y'all know me. He's been such a monster.
And speaking of the playoffs, I wanted to ask you, have you missed not having LeBron in the playoffs? Has it been strange? Has something been missing without LeBron in the playoffs?
I think around now is the time where we'll notice that LeBron's not here. You know, because the first round's just kind of whatever. But now is about the time where normally he would dispatch of the Raptors. And then it keeps going. So, no, I mean, I don't know if I'd say I miss him, but I do obviously notice that he's not there. How about that?
Right. The comparison that I make with LeBron not being in the playoffs is when Ric Flair left NWA/WCW.
Yes.
And it's like he went to the WWF, took the big gold belt with him, and then you're looking at WCW, had to make their own belt. Like, yeah, Rick Rude was the champ, Vader was the champ, Ron Simmons was the champ, but it still wasn't Ric Flair.
Right.
Like no disrespect to the Warriors or whomever's going to win it this year, but it's like, with LeBron not being there, it's just not the same.
Well, what I don't understand, I don't know if don't understand is the way to put it. That's not the way to put it. But there's nobody in the playoffs that's under real scrutiny, except for maybe like the Warriors if they don't win it, right? Because they're defending champs and everything else. But everybody else, like, there's nobody on the hot seat. Think about it. It's been all these years, and as good as James Harden is, James Harden's not on the can you win a championship hot seat. We don't have Chris Paul on the hot seat in that way. I don't think we have anybody in these playoffs on a hot seat in the way that LeBron is kind of on the hot seat every postseason. Like, that level of intrigue storyline-wise, we don't have it.
Like, I think the closest guys, I do agree with you, like, that level of scrutiny is not there. I think the closest guys would probably be Harden and maybe even a Kyrie, because Kyrie made the decision to leave the Cavs and turned out to be a really good decision, actually. But I think those would be the closest guys, but it's nowhere near the level that it was with LeBron.
Well, there was Russell Westbrook.
I guess. Forgot about him.
Yeah, you know, like, I guess, you know, and he was just out of here pretty quickly. But nobody's looking at anybody else in this like, yo, so, like, when you gonna get this done? And that part is interesting, and that's what we have. There is an urgency missing without LeBron. LeBron does make everything seem more urgent. By the way, who are they gonna get in the offseason?
Oh, yeah, that's right. A general manager? They're gonna start there, huh?
There is that.
How did things go so left so quickly in Los Angeles? Like, this is the Lakers.
Easy. They don't have anybody in charge that has any idea what they're doing. That's it. They don't have any. Second generation, man. We talk about this all the time, right? When second generation money starts taking over, things get a little wobbly. I know there's one team that's owned by second generation money. You know who it is?
I got an idea.
Like, is Jim Dolan not the epitome of second generation? By the way, I know another team that's being run by second-generation management. You know who I'm talking about?
I got an idea.
The New York Giants. Yeah. That's your squads. Oh, you know another one that isn't playing as well as it used to that's now run by the second generation?
Uh-huh. Keep going.
The New York Yankees.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm noticing a trend here.
It just dawned on me. But who has won a Stanley Cup? Well, did they win one? No, they didn't win it. But the Rangers aren't bad, right?
They made it to a Stanley Cup within recent history, yes.
Yeah, they got to the finals a couple years ago, right?
Oh, yeah, they lost to the Kings, yeah.
There we go. Second generation, finally coming through for you. There's Jim Dolan, making it happen.
Thanks, Bo.
But, yeah, that's what happened to the Lakers, man. They ain't got nobody in there that has idiotic.
So how do you fix the Lakers, though, at this point?
Like, they have to be sold. Like, I think they can get some free agents, but in the end, the thing is, all they got is the Lakers. Like, go look at what the money is now that owns the rest of these teams. This is different than this scenario. The Lakers are out here, you know, skimping on costs and stuff like that because this is the only operation they got for really making money.
Right.
They're going to need to be sold to some big, massive billionaire, which will be kind of fascinating if it happens, but that's what it's going to take.
And looking at LeBron, like, I'm still a LeBron fan, but at this point where he is in his career, and I'm not saying he's washed, don't get me wrong, I'm not. But can you win? Can you be competitive with in the West with the Warriors and who they are if LeBron is your best player?
I guess it all depends on who two and three are, right?
And then that leads to the next question is, what type of players can you get at 2 and 3?
Like, I don't
know. Is it going to be a Jimmy Butler? We've heard Kawhi doesn't want to go there. Anthony Davis obviously wants to go there, but it doesn't seem as though New Orleans is going to want to trade him there. So that's the problem. And getting to your larger point of having someone in charge who knows what they're doing.
Well, let's think about this, right? Because, I mean, they're not going to get Anthony Davis this offseason, I don't think. They already offered the best trade that they have. They're not going to be able to get him. David Aldridge wrote a column that I think was very wise that says the Wizards need to move Brad Beal and do a full rebuild. That sounds like it makes sense, doesn't it?
Oh, man.
Trade some of those young guys, get Brad Beal. The Wizards get to do their rebuilding thing, and now you've got a shooter. A shooter who can get his own shot.
If you're the Wizards, what do you do with John Wall? I mean, John Wall's going to be making $40-plus million a year.
You pay him? That's what you do the thing you don't want to do. You pay him copious amounts of money. That's the most untradeable contract.
John Wall's going to make $40 million next year, and he's probably not going to play.
Oh, he's not going to play. It's the most untradeable contract in the league. So I'd be trying to get Brad Beal right now. 2 years left on his deal? You do that, and then you figure out if you can get you a free agent. Then I feel like LeBron plus Brad Beal, you can get somebody.
Well, going back to the Knicks in this offseason, who do you have more optimism of? If you're a fan of the Knicks or the Lakers, who would you have more optimism, the Lakers or the Knicks at this point?
Tough call because I have seen the Lakers be good before. I think the Knicks, because I think Durant and Kyrie are coming. I do. I'm not trying to get you guys gassed up.
But you can say it again, though, just to make me feel
good. I think Kyrie and Durant are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think they're going to play.
That's like the Sam Mufasa in Lion King. I was like, say it again.
You ready, ain't you? You ready? You trying to get your life back, huh? You want to get back to what it was? Because you had a positive youth with the Knicks.
I'm telling you, if they do get, I don't care, championship or not, if the Knicks get Kyrie and Kevin Durant, I'm walking into work like Vince McMahon. You can't tell me nothing. I'm strutting every day. Doesn't matter. But then with the Knicks, and I think you mentioned it earlier, like, okay, you get these guys. Now the expectation is you got to win.
Yes. Ain't going to be no starting 8-7 or whatever that was that the Heat started in 2010, 2011.
Right. And then, well, I guess, though, if you do get those guys and you win a playoff series, do you get the confetti like you did that one time that they won a playoff series in the last decade?
Shannon, that wasn't for a playoff series. That was for a single playoff win in a series. I believe they were down 3-0. Remember that? I guess, obviously, you do.
But it's a new day, though. New day. We're turning a corner. The Knicks are back. Brooklyn is back. The Knicks are back, B.
We going with these B's now, huh?
But do you buy the whole, hey, the NBA is better when the Knicks are good thing that we've heard in
years
past?
Yes, I absolutely do. It's more fun when the Knicks are good because Knicks fans are everywhere and Knicks fans are fun, win, lose, or draw.
Like, I agree, it's more fun, but for the league, I mean, yes. Obviously we've seen the league thrive with LeBron.
It's better because it's more fun. Like, it's better for everybody because now when the Knicks come to town, it means something. You see what I mean? Like, for everybody, if the Knicks come to town, now it means something. So there are now more games on everybody's schedule that somebody cares about. See? Good for everybody, Shannon. Good for everybody.
I'm liking what you're putting down. Thank you.
Yeah, you picking it up.
I like that.
Picking it up.
We started with the Giants and we end on a high. I like how you did that. You make them leave on a high. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and hold up. We even got more funny to talk about. All right, we'll be back in a minute with more with Shannon Penn. But first, guys, 66% of men lose hair by age 35, like me. That is a big problem. Thing is, as I can tell you, when you start to notice your hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you already have than to replace hair you've lost. How will you feel a year from now if it's business as usual up there? Why do guys sit back and watch their hairlines moonwalk back when they can turn to medicine and science? Well, there's a solution, and it's for Hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with the real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. None of that stuff from the gas station. It's prescription solutions. They're backed by science. There's no waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. Just save hours going to forhims.com. Amazon.com. Answer a couple of questions and a doctor will review and prescribe you. Products come directly to your door. Now, my listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See website for full details and safety information. This will cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/Bomani. That's FORHIMS.com/Bomani. Forhims.com/Bomani. People who don't know our story, we started working together at a radio station in Raleigh, North Carolina. We started working in 07 around there, you know. And you, after I left, you worked as a producer for Afternoon Drive show on ESPN Radio 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh. And that means that you got to answer a lot of phone calls from people. And we have tried to tell people for years, and they did not want to listen to us, that there's always, always a contingent that is ready for the littlest bit of daylight that allows them to put Cam Newton on the bench. Shannon, they drafted Will Grier in the third round.
Charlotte's own Will Grier.
Oh, he's local. That's right. How you think them phone calls went on Monday?
Oh my, you know, folks were ready too. Like, I don't get that. Like Cam is still an MVP level guy and fans are ready to write him off. I don't get what else do you have that's going to be better? Like I get you want to with Grier and the organization having the depth. There would be 27 odd teams lining up to get Cam Newton if you're ready to part with them Carolina fans.
Hey, bro.
Just understand that.
Hey, bro, you asked me if the thing about black quarterback is still here. Well, here we are. Here we are. The Will Grier hive is going to be so strong. And look, they needed a quarterback. Like, it was a move that they needed to make, if for no other reason than we just have no idea what Cam's shoulder is about to be.
Right.
He has not thrown a football yet. And he looked really bad coming down to the end of the year physically. So, like, there's no fault at all for Marty Herney for making the call that they needed to draft another quarterback and to get Will Grier. I just do not think that people truly understand that any wobble in Cam and then Will Grier jerseys is going to be everywhere. Like, you think them Grier jerseys is going to be on the streets of Charlotte? Because I think they will.
I'm sure they're there now. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't even know if Will Grier got a number. I bet you somebody got a Will Grier jersey, ordered online, sent, boom, right there.
Typed it out themselves.
Speaking of like Cam, though, do you think, I know it's a lot of questions, a lot of ifs with the shoulder surgery, though, but can he get back to where he was when he took him to the Super Bowl, that MVP season? Can he get back to that, or is going to have to be a totally different Cam? Because I know he went away from taking the big hits and sliding more within the last season, but can he get back to that level, or have we already seen him peak?
Yeah, I don't know if he can get to that level, and I've always told people you can't expect the career arc of most elite quarterbacks to be the same as his because he's taking so many more miles. So, like, we're not looking at a 17-year career with him. We're probably looking at, like, a 12-year career. Think about how it went for Donovan McNabb, for example. Like, that's probably what we're looking at. When the end comes, the end is going to be harsh. But the counterpoint that I, not even the counterpoint, but the question I would ask in return is, does he have to be what he was in 2015? Because he has so much more talent around him than he did in that 2015 season. I mean, the number one receiver on that team was Ted Ginn. Yeah. Who's the starting running back? Was it Stewart?
Yeah, Jonathan Stewart, yeah, was the starting running back who just retired, yeah.
That's the question. Like, there is more around him now. If they had managed to put this around him when he was young, because they wasted the cheap contract years for
right.
him. If they could have got more around him, who knows what it would have been. But I don't think he has to be the guy that he had been previously to be successful, given what they have around him. I just don't know what it's going to be for him. And I don't know what kind of game. If he doesn't have the arm that he had before, I don't know how equipped his game is for adjustments, because accuracy is not really his bag.
It's never been, no.
Like, he can make some throws that nobody else can, and then he'll mess up your yak because you got to reach behind you to catch that pass where you're wide open over the middle of the field.
Right. I definitely don't see an Eli Manning situation with Cam where the Panthers, once he starts to really decline, I don't see them holding on to him. I don't see Cam finishing his career in Carolina. Like, that's not to be, you know, too down or negative.
No, nobody does except Eli Manning, apparently. You remember him?
Right back to it, huh?
He won a Super Bowl. Do you realize it's been 8 years?
It's been like 10 since the first one.
12.
Oh, it is 19. 12. Jeez.
12. Yeah, man. We're a little old, man.
Why don't we have these same conversations, though? Speaking of Eli, and why don't we have these same conversations with Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger? Those guys are drafting 04 as well. Why don't we have those same conversations with them? Aaron Rodgers in that same age group. Like, why don't we have those same conversations about those guys?
Because they still play well and their teams are good. Although Roethlisberger's got his issues, but his team's better.
Speaking of Roethlisberger, how much heat do you think is going to be on him this year with everything that's went on with the Antonio Brown stuff? Le'Veon, obviously.
No. As long as Mike Tomlin's there, the heat ain't coming to Ben. We got some more layers that we got to go through before we get to Ben Roethlisberger. And Tomlin deserves some heat. Like, let's not get that twisted. But yeah, he is the shield for Ben Roethlisberger. That's part of his job.
Do you think Roethlisberger will outlast Tomlin there? Like seriously, like looking at Tomlin's seat, like how high it is. Like, I know the Steelers, they don't replace head coaches. I get that, but that heat on Tomlin is legit though.
Well, the thing about Tomlin is, like, so Bill Cowher resigned when his time was up. Chuck Knoll resigned when his time is up. But Chuck Knoll also, like, he left like 10, 11 years after they'd won a Super Bowl. Like, they gave him all the time in the world. Would they let Mike Tomlin resign? Like, or would he be willing to resign? Would it be a firing? What would it take? Because we have no basis of comparison for this organization to know what it would take for them to, like, actually fire a coach. But we also have no basis of comparison for a black coach having this position. And black coaches typically are playing according to a different set of rules. I don't know, but, like, I feel like this next year, if you can bet on Ben being good, this year is the last year that you can bet on him being good. And I don't know what they're going to do after that, because they're not going to take a first round pick and bring him in behind Ben Roethlisberger. They keep trying to use these little picks. So you bring in like the Josh Dodds and the Mason Rudolphs of the world. Well, neither of them is ever going to take this job. So I don't know how long Ben winds up staying. You got anything else you need some therapy on, man? I feel like this has been therapeutic for you.
And I really do appreciate you letting me, like, get this off my chest, because, like, the draft was a week ago, and I thought 7 days later I would be over it. Obviously, I'm not. So it's a process. I'm taking this one day at a time. I talk to the right people, trying to surround myself in the right situation and people around me who are supportive, not my wife, because she thought the whole thing was funny. And Freddie Coleman thought it was very funny, took a video of me and my reaction to the Daniel Jones video. I appreciate that. It's going to take some time. We just have to work through it, man. One day at a time. You know, that's the way we got to do it.
I got to say, I am a little disappointed on one thing. I thought you might have brought a little something for the people.
Oh, yeah. No, see, I thought about it, but I've just been in such the dumps right now. I couldn't even think about Cam Newton and having fun, to be honest with you. Like, this Daniel Jones thing rocked me to the core, and knowing that my NFL team is going to be so bad and so poor and so badly run for the next 2 to 3 seasons until they get them out of there, that I can't let another fan base have fun in the NFL if I'm not having fun. I hate to be that guy, but that's what it's going to have to be. I'm sorry. I'm in a bad place right now. I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to be a better me, but I just can't. I'm maybe next time. Sorry, guys.
It's the monotonism of life getting old, Shannon.
I thought my morals were high, right? I honestly did. And I thought I was going to ink it in gold. But then the more and more I thought about it and thought about this pinnacle that I was on, and I was like, man, it's not fair, but that's the life we live. And after that, I was like, man, it's. But hey, you know, the Titanic still has to go.
The Titanic does have to go. You know what's happened to the Giants? They're a little contorted.
Could have been contorted in a way. Yes,
that's
absolutely
right. They've been contorted in a way.
And the Giants are very unpositive. Yes. Not negative, unpositive.
Even like that, it's great.
And you don't want to ruffle the lion's feathers.
Is Dave Gettleman the lion?
He has some, he's something else, but I don't want to say it because I got some choice words, but yeah.
Hey, man. I appreciate you, as always, taking the time to join us here. The people appreciate hearing what you're up to and what's going on. And I feel like, so if the Knicks win the lottery and the Knicks get to free agents, I imagine you will want to come back.
Oh, absolutely. Book it. Tweet it out myself. Gabe won't even have to tweet it out. The Knicks get the number one pick in the draft lottery. Coming up next week on The Right Time with Bomani Jones, Shannon Penn.
I'm going to block that week out for you.
Oh, we can ink that in gold. Like if there's anything that I feel like we can ink in gold, we can ink that in gold. Can we ink that in gold, Shannon?
We're not going to let the cat out the hat, but we're going to ink it in gold.
Hey, man. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing a couple times a week. My man Gabe Bassane handles everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Also, thanks to our sponsors, Lightstream and ForHims.com. Be sure to check out the MenaCom show this week. Mena's back from Nashville. Still dumbfounded that the Giants took Daniel Jones with the 6th pick, and she's joined by Mike Golic Jr. They'll recap the weekend of steals and reaches and decide whether real swag is no swag. Also, remember to subscribe to The Right Time and the MenaCom show and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think you are a hater, and we'll talk to you in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.